The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live.
And welcome to the Brad Sesmatch Show. Yes, we are broadcasting live. No, it's not the big guy. It's Gil Tyree filling in for Brad. I'll fill in for Brad today, tomorrow, and on Thursday. Welcome to Sports360AZ.com and the Brad Sesmatch Show. Got a great show for you. Great show. We're going to check in with Kevin Ray, the TV play-by-play voice of your Phoenix Suns as they get ready for Game 2 tonight at Phoenix Suns Arena. That's a 6 p.m. tip time, local time, 9 p.m. Eastern. And a little later on, we're going to check in from Memphis, Tennessee, with a really, really dear friend of mine, Dr. Rochelle Stevens, two-time gold medalist at the Olympics, and she's going to kind of set the stage for what's been going on at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials in Eugene, Oregon. In fact, they've cleared 1 week, and they move into week two, and it's been a dynamite, really a dynamite trial for Allison Felix, and we'll get Rochelle's perspective. Talk a little bit about the upcoming Olympic track and field trials that are going on and the upcoming Olympics in Tokyo. Get her feel about what's going on as it relates to the reduction of 50% in capacity at all the venues, and just look at the U.S.'s gold medal chances against the best in the world. So all that today on the Brad Sesmatch Show here on Sports360 AZ, brought to you by our great friends at Desert Financial Credit Union, valley-wide locations, also statewide locations, with Desert Financial Credit Union. First of all, let's set the stage. Talk a little bit about the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks get a victory last night, a well-deserved victory over Milwaukee at Chase Field. So same two teams tonight, and they got to share what's going on down at the at Copper Square with what's going on at Phoenix Suns Arena. So going to see a crowd for the D-backs and the Brewers and also the Suns and the LA Clippers. But last night, a nice victory. They are now 21-53. They snapped that long, long losing streak, and they're 1-9 in their last 10 games. We don't want to get into the ugly side of it, just the fact of the positivity of a win last night against the Milwaukee Brewers. Some old friends over in that Milwaukee clubhouse and that dugout, and Craig Counsell, former Diamondback, and also the former baseball coach at Arizona State University, in Pat Murphy. So that game will be that'll be a first pitch at around 6:40 p.m. Arizona time, 9:40 p.m. Eastern. Take a look at game two tonight for your Phoenix Suns against the LA Clippers in the Western Finals. No Chris Paul tonight. No Kawhi Leonard tonight. But the fact that the Suns have gone out and really done well in game one after that long layoff, after the sweep over the Denver Nuggets, pretty much tells you exactly what Monty Williams is in store and how he's been able to get that rotation set for the playoff run. And we're going to delve into that with a little bit more with Kevin Ray as he joins us about 20 minutes past the hour. 1-0 in the series, in a best of seven series. Like I said, no Chris Paul tonight, still in that COVID protocol by the league. Kawhi Leonard will not play for the Clippers. Still trying to decide the best course of action in dealing with that ACL tear and injury. To what extent, we do not know, and it's been pretty much a big secret. Some people say he'll need surgery. Some people say he's out for the year. Other people say, no, he's not. They're monitoring, they're trying to do treatment and do some things to make sure he's possibly available for the duration of the Western Conference Finals. And if the Clippers should be able to make it to the NBA Finals, he may be available then. But the way the Suns are playing right now, it's highly unlikely that the Clippers will be able to stave off the Suns. I like the Suns in six. In the Eastern Conference Finals, they begin tomorrow at Milwaukee. The Atlanta Hawks, and what a story that's been. Nate McMillan and that crew have done an outstanding job and really, really exposed play out in the court of not only public opinion, but in the court of law. In the meantime, let's just kind of look back and really check on the Suns and how they've been doing. The Suns at this point have a good opportunity, like I said, to advance to the finals. And what an opportunity it would be for not only Monty Williams, but James Jones, who has done an outstanding job as general manager. In fact, honored this past weekend as NBA Executive of the Year. Just a marvelous job. How they've been able to set up this team, how they've been able to combine youth with the veterans, how they've been able to blend in, how they've been able to buy in. And we saw this developing last year in the bubble. And to see it to come to fruition right now is really wonderful for not only the NBA, but also the Valley. And it'll be interesting to see how that pans out tonight. And like I said, we'll delve into that a little bit more with Kevin Ray coming up a little bit later on. In the meantime, we'll take a break. We'll be right back on Sports 360 AZ on the Brad Sesmatt Show, sponsored by Desert Financial Credit Union. On the air with us now on the Brad Sesmatt Show here on Sports 360 AZ is the very talented, the popular television play-by-play voice of your Phoenix Suns, Kevin Ray. K-Ray, how is it going? Huh?
Well, as you might imagine, Gil, having been here during some great playoff success, the town is going crazy for this Suns team.
And that would segue me into this question regarding that. Compare what happened back in the Charles Barkley era and Steve Nash and all that to now. Can you compare the enthusiasm? Is it the same? Has it tripled? Has it doubled? Is it?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there's a few comparisons. But, you know, I think you'd have to qualify it as different only because, and I've shared this a couple of times, is that, you know, it because of the 11-year drought, the Suns have garnered new fans, even during the course of those losing years. There are just basketball fans who, you know, want to watch NBA basketball, and whether it's watching the Suns play or the visiting team come to town. So you had some new NBA fans, but I think what we've seen, especially over the last even three seasons, because of the talent of a Devin Booker, despite the losing, you know, fans have jumped on board, and I would, you know, call them the hardcore fans because of who Devin is, how he plays. And you look, I don't think there's any coincidence that when he came out a couple of years ago, and it would have been that window where with all the losing and all the coaches coming in and out, you know, Devin could have said, I'm out. You know, I'm not going to sign this extension. I'm out of here. But he planted his flag and said, I want to be part of the turnaround. I want to be here. And not only did he plant that flag, Gil, but he wrote a check. I mean, he's invested heavily in the community through different, you know, philanthropic endeavors. And I think that in a lot of ways really opened the eyes of fans in general of, here's a special kid. You know, he didn't take the easy way out the way a lot of guys have. And then we've seen the last couple of years building and kind of bubbling to the surface. And, you know, now you've got all these, you know, you got a combination of young fans, some of the old school fans. So it's been a real pleasure to watch.
Well, you know, the pictures have looked just unbelievable from, you know, you can call it anywhere from the Purple Palace to Planet Orange to whatever name they call it now. But it's really exciting. It's great for the Valley. I'm sure it's great for the NBA. And it's great for you guys to really be around a team that really has a legitimate shot, Kevin, at getting to the finals. I like them to win this series. I really do. I think it's going to probably go maybe six, possibly five. but I don't think it's going to go any more than that. And I think you can win this series without Chris Paul. I really do. Get him right. Get him right for the finals. You know?
Yeah. And you know, we know that Chris won't be available tonight, right. And the Clippers will continue to be without Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
But it's a team that is playing with a great deal of confidence, and you know, Chris has had a lot to do with instilling the confidence in this team and believing in themselves. And, you know, he's like that coach. He's like that father. He's like that big brother. And all of these young players have really embraced that mentality, that approach from Chris. And you're seeing it play out, and, you know, certainly played out beautifully, as well as you could have imagined in game one.
And he's accelerated the maturation if maturization was needed with Devin Booker. But you're absolutely right. He's an extension of Monty Williams on the floor. I'll say this. When Chris Paul decides to hang it up, he can go back to his alma mater at Wake Forest and coach. He can coach in the NBA if he would like. He is born to coach because he is exactly that on the floor and then some. And it's been pretty much all his NBA career.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at Chris and you see a person who – quite frankly, you know, can do anything when he hangs it up, whether it be coaching, whether it be, you know, in the business world. I mean, here is a guy who has really, and credit his, you know, his family, his roots, his upbringing. He talks often about, you know, his grandfather. He's got that book that's coming out here, I think, early in the fall, chronicling, you know, his love and admiration for his grandfather and what he meant to him, you know, his parents, his big brother. You know, all these people have instilled so many wonderful qualities in Chris. And I mean, that's a guy, you know, if Chris were the stock market, I would, you know, put some extra cash on it and look for the long run investment, because this is a guy that's going to be successful in whatever he wants to do.
Well, that's why the State Farm commercials have been going as well as they are. And they're popular.
Right.
Because, you know, he has the Midas touch. Let's take a look, K-Ray, at this series. And you know, you talk about the veteran presence of Chris Paul. But I really think from the Suns' perspective, we've seen really the coming out party for DeAndre Ayton and also Mikal Bridges and possibly some more of that young talent brought in by James Jones.
Yeah, and look, coming into the playoffs, the two big questions that needed to be answered was, you know, how will the lack of playoff experience impact this team outside of Chris, Jay Crowder, Torrey Craig? You know, you had, I mean, as good
and
as Cameron, Devin Booker
Cameron,
is,
Cameron,
yeah, campaign. But you know, you for the most part, your core players had zero playoff experience, and you know, were they going to shrink in the heat of the moment? And then the next big question was, on top of that, DeAndre Ayton, how would he perform? Would we see the DA that we saw that monster 3-week stretch earlier in the season, or would we see, you know, a DA where he kind of got in Monty's doghouse for a 2 or 3 week stretch? But this young man, to his credit, and I've said it numerous times, that the one thing that DA has been consistent about is accepting that the critique, the tough love, the tough coaching, whether it be from Monty, whether it be from Chris, his teammates, and you know, just became a father a few months back. But here's a guy who has just absolutely elevated his level of play. He's embraced what it means to be a big man in today's NBA, doesn't try to become or be something that he is not. And his teammates just absolutely love his attitude. And now he's rewarding everybody, including himself.
And hopefully maybe he'll get rewarded with the contract extension. He's eligible for one, isn't he? A max deal coming.
Well, he's eligible. I mean, there's going to have to. It's going to be an interesting offseason. It'll be short, but you've got DA who's eligible. You've got Mikal Bridges who's eligible. Cameron Payne's a free agent, but those are all discussions that they will they'll wait and have, you know, a little bit later on. Hopefully, post celebration.
You are a student of this game. You've covered it. You know, in radio, you've covered it now in TV. You and Eddie Johnson do a marvelous job. You know what's going on in the NBA. You've done stuff for TNT and what have you. And you know how the playoffs work. Adjustments from game one and two is probably the biggest adjustment you'll see in a seven-game series. What would you anticipate tonight in game two?
Yeah, you know, again, so no Chris Paul. So I think from the Suns' perspective, I would say that the one adjustment that Monty knows they have to get done is, and he mentioned this in his post-game press conference, but, you know, the Clippers knocked down 20 three-pointers. Now, they were the number one three-point shooting team all season long. They're riding a five-game streak where they've got at least 15 threes. So, you know, they are who they are there. But Monty has said, we've got to contest those corner threes better than we did. So look for the Suns to try to get to those corners and wing threes a little quicker than they did in game one. Offensively, I'm not sure that they can do any better. I mean, you had 31 assists without Chris Paul, believe it or not. They took care of the Rock, only seven turnovers in the game. Five of those came like in the first quarter, I believe it was. And for the Clippers, I think it'll be interesting for Ty Lue. Marcus Morris Sr. is listed as questionable tonight. He's dinged up, so if he doesn't go, that's going to force the hand a little bit. We saw Ty try to make an adjustment and bring his bigs on the floor. Mm-hmm. We saw him throw mm-hmm. Boogie out there.
Right,
Boogie
right.
had some success for a few minutes, but
right.
I'm just not sure, you know, in terms of the adjustments of does he try and go bigger for a longer period of time? It'll be interesting. I do look for them to try and run some different looks at Devin Booker tonight, but the thing is, there's nothing that he hasn't seen. And mm-hmm. what's great about Devin, and this is part of what, you know, really stands out in playing with Chris Paul, is in many ways he invites the double team, but then moreover, he's trusting his teammates, and his teammates know that. So he'll draw the double team, make the pass, and now you've basically got four on three defenders. And that's where the Suns were able to really carve them up with the great ball movement, knocking down wide open shots. And so I'll be anxious to see just what level of adjustments Ty Lue makes and how long he'll ride with some of those adjustments.
I thought Dario Saric helped you guys a lot, too. I mean, he got exploited a couple times when Boogie Cousins came in and extended that floor and was able to knock down the three. And I thought he struggled a little bit against Zubats, but that's pretty much a, you know, that's a 50-50. I mean, those two
yeah.
will cancel out each other. But Dario Saric, how much has he helped? I know he didn't see a lot in the Lakers series, nor did he see a lot in the Nuggets series, but I think Monty feels like he can go small and attack the Clippers from that aspect of it and put it, especially when Boogie's in the game, it makes it pretty much like a 5-on-4 because Boogie's been struggling to get up and down the floor a little bit.
Right, right. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, if first off, Monty's a huge believer in Dario Saric, and mm-hmm. it's been a tough year for Dario. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of about a 3-week stretch, he came into this season, he was injured, got healthy, started to kind of turn the corner. Then he ended up, you know, coming down with COVID, was out for almost 3 weeks. And like so many players, you know, really labored at returning to form. Then he got injured again. And it was just a real loss of confidence for Dario. But Monty knows the value that Dario brings. He's a smart player. Monty refers to him as his super connector because Dario understands the game, understands spacing. Mm-hmm. And I was happy to see him come out and make some positive plays in the last two games of that Denver series. And I think that's allowed him to rebuild some of that confidence. But to your point, Gil, yeah, he gives up a little size down low, but Monty likes what he can do to Boogie. And moreover, it just, in many ways, he, I think, is inviting Ty to put Boogie on the floor, gave up 11 points quickly. But to your point, they were able to rebound and run. And, you know, Boogie just doesn't have the footwork or the speed. And you saw him to start labor after that third or fourth minute on the floor. And that's what Dario, you know, will be able to bring to the floor for you tonight if he's able to.
And I also think, and you know this too, because you're there courtside, you see it a lot, you know, Boogie Cousins has never really fully recovered from that Achilles tear. And I think it shows, and he's laboring, and you're absolutely right. And that's an area to attack. I want to get back to Cameron Payne. I think he has been really a shining star for you guys. This is a kid that people don't really know about. You know, came out of Memphis, Tennessee, a southpaw, went to Murray State, was a late first-round pick, bounced around the league a little bit, had a humbling experience, but has really found a home in the Valley, kid. He really has. Like,
yeah, he has, and you know, look, it stems from, and you know this, Gil, I mean, in life in general, it's all about relationships, right? Mm-hmm. And it with Cameron's relationship with Monty, when Monty was on that Oklahoma City staff, right. And you know, Monty saw the potential in Cameron Payne, but he also saw a young man who came in kind of, you know, believing his own hype, if you will, of I'm a lottery pick. I got to stick in the league. Right. And Monty had some very, you know, harsh, strong words, you know, the tough love that Monty is known for. And to his credit, Cameron Payne took those words to heart. Now it didn't help save him in Oklahoma City, but he never forgot those words. And Monty never forgot the fact that, you know, Cameron didn't basically turn on him and throw, you know, any criticism back at Monty. And it was, oddly enough, it was a year ago, 2 days ago, that the Suns signed him. You know, Cam had you know, tried to make a run in China. And the stories from his very brief stint in China were pretty funny. But they signed him pre-bubble, and it was basically, you'd have to say, maybe his last shot at getting back in the league. Otherwise, he's probably going to be playing overseas the rest of his career. And he took those words to heart, you know, a few years later from Monty Williams, came in, worked his tail off, began to show the value there in the bubble, and he has just been an absolute delight to cover and a thrill to watch.
Does owner Robert Sarver realize what he has in Monty Williams and James Jones? Because this is a tandem that I'm going to tell you something, Kevin, you cannot beat this two. This duo is outstanding, and they have really done an outstanding job for the Valley. I can't state how much pride I have watching them and seeing that duo operate. And they've had some other people around them, but they have to really celebrate down there, because this team is on the cusp. I think you're looking at a good run with this club. I mean, they're young, well-coached, made some good decisions, been through the muck and mire, but we saw this thing coming out of the bubble last year. I mean, a lot of people, I saw it. I sit here with, watching the Philadelphia 76ers, and I said, I do not know why in the world Joshua Harris did not fire Brett Brown and hire Monty Williams as the head coach here. And then Monty left. Monty had the opportunity to go to Phoenix and look what has happened. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, we're certainly glad that didn't transpire. And to answer your question, you know, I do believe that Robert knows what he has. And you know the criticism, that Robert has taken for some of his decisions in years past. But I give him, you know, credit now for understanding the value of, you know, hiring the right people and then allowing them to do their job, make their decisions, and then give them the support that, you know, that they need to be given as an owner. And Robert, to his credit, has done that. You know, he has armed James and Monty with the confidence. He certainly opened up his checkbook. You know, they just built that new performance center, which opened up, hadn't even been a year now. And it is, I mean, beyond state of the art. So that becomes a recruiting tool, if you will, when it comes to free agents. Of course, the you know, re-engineered, reimagined arena downtown with the help of the city. And, you know, you've got good people in here. Allow them to make the right decisions and sit back and enjoy it. And, same thing for myself, EJ, all of us who are covering this team. It's been an absolute blast.
Well, you know, you can't say it, but I'll say it. One thing he hasn't done, Robert Sarver, the aforementioned Robert Sarver, is micromanage. He's let people do their jobs. You don't have to say it.
No, completely. Completely. And look, you know, that's, you know, it's one of the, like I say, we all learn lessons in life. And I think that he has, you know, he's stepped back, taken a long view of it and understood that when you have the right people in place, you know, you have to arm them and then move out of the way. And I think that's exactly what he has done. And now, you know, the organization, the fans, we're all beneficiaries of, you know, two terrific basketball minds, along with a lot of other great people. I mean, it's a terrific coaching staff, one that wouldn't be surprised if at least one of these assistant coaches ends up becoming a head coach, because Monty is also, you know, learned lessons from his first time around as a head coach. He's got a terrific coaching staff, you know, gives him the freedom to go out and coach and be confident in doing that. And it's just been a real pleasure to watch.
Well, he has two friends of mine on that staff that I love. Willie Green's one, and Mark Bryan is the other. And you're right. They're definitely available to be head coaches. And I hope they get I hope they're included in the interview process. The final question I want to ask you, Kay, will there be a parade? Do you think it'll be a parade bigger than what we saw in 93?
Well, I would imagine there would be some sort of a parade. I don't know. I mean, 93 was just so unique in many ways, as you know, Gil, because the arena was brand new. Charles came to town and just absolutely set the city on fire. So I'm not sure that we would eclipse the 300,000, especially. I mean, it was plenty warm that day in June. We're talking about a July potential parade. So,
okay. Right. Well,
it would be interesting, but I assure you there would be one, and it would be well attended.
Exactly. 100+ degrees or not, they'll show up no matter what. But Devin Booker goes on the Mount Rushmore Hall of Fame of the Suns. Charles Barkley, Steve Nash, and who else?
Oh, my goodness.
Chris Paul?
Well, I mean, look, if you bring, I mean, I think you got to throw Amari Stoudemire in there. Yeah, Stat and Steve together, you know, were wonderful. I mean, if Chris Paul were able to bring a championship to Phoenix, I think that is, that's first ballot Mount Rushmore.
Kevin, listen, always great talking to you. You continue to do the wonderful job that you do. You know, when I joke, when I see you on those Nugenix commercials, I love those commercials. I really do. And, you know, you do a great job. I mean, seriously, they don't play them enough for me. I mean, I see them a lot on NBA TV, but you have a second career if you want it. Good luck to you. Good luck to the Suns, and good luck to everybody in the Valley. And I miss everybody so much, and I look forward to seeing you down the road. Kevin Ray.
Thank you, Gil. So great to hear your voice and catch up, my friend.
Kevin Ray joining us here on Sports 360 AZ on the Brad Sesmet Show. On the other end of these commercial messages from Desert Financial Credit Union, we're going to catch up with the Olympian, Dr. Rochelle Stevens. We'll be right back. As promised, we said we would check in with the two-time Olympic gold and silver medalist, Dr. Rochelle Stevens. Dr. Stevens, welcome to the program. How are you?
I am doing wonderful in Tennessee.
Listen, we have some Olympic trials going on, some Olympic track and field trials going on. And I couldn't think of anybody better to handicap what's going on and get her take as to how everything looks right now as we prepare to put a team together to go to Tokyo. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, the best athletes in the world normally get an invitation to come to the Olympic trials. Of course, there is a qualification to at least get your foot in the door. And then there's a nice little process of elimination every single day. And may the best man or woman win the top three to represent Team USA. So we always, especially in track and field, have great representation at the Olympic trials and Olympic Games every year.
Well, Team USA right now, you talk about female athletes. I think there's maybe no one as popular and as anticipated as Allyson Felix. What are your thoughts about how she's going to approach Tokyo? What is the sky the limit for her? What do you think back? What do you think she'll do in terms of bringing back a medal and winning medals? And how have you assessed her her efforts so far in at the Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon?
Well, I believe she has she come across with a very pleasant and beautiful attitude, and that's what America needs right about now, is someone that's positive and have a beautiful smile with it. As for her winning medals, I believe our relay, the 4x400 meter relay, would definitely bring back home a medal, hopefully gold, and hold up the tradition that my relay started in 1996. So since 1996, the 4x400 meter relay has brought home the gold medal. So I'm hoping the four women that I witnessed on Sunday night, Monday night, will be able to do the same thing. They look great, and the combination looks really well. Her open 400, I think she would do well. It depends on the rest of the world. She may bring home a bronze, maybe fourth place. It just depends on the athlete and their mindset on that particular day. So track and field is anybody's day if you make it your day.
Absolutely, and you can definitely cash in and the commercial endorsements that follow that. You talked about 1996, Rochelle, and you had a wonderful, wonderful experience there. You brought back a lot of pride to not only the Mid-South, but also the city of Memphis, but the United States in general. It was in Atlanta, not too far from your native Memphis, Tennessee. Take us back to 1996 and what it meant for you, not only seeing the cauldron being lit by Muhammad Ali, but the whole experience. I know there was a lot of negativity with the bombing at the Olympic site, but all that being said, how would you assess the day for you, the weeks, and the preparation, and your legacy afterwards?
Well, I know that the world put a lot of emphasis on the Atlanta bombing, but as for the athletes, we didn't even pay it much attention. The simple fact, I guess, because we experienced competing all over the world before the Olympics roll around, and most of those countries are communist countries or high in terrorists. So for that bombing to go on, it wasn't a big deal to us. What was most important was to make sure to try to perform well in front of the home crowd, take advantage of the 100-plus degrees of humidity, which the Europeans were not accustomed to, enjoy all the American food without wondering what the heck are they feeding us, and have an air conditioner. So, you know, to us, those are just basic necessities to Americans. But when you travel abroad, those are not basic necessities. My first experience was in 1992 in Barcelona, and it felt like Memphis, 100 degrees every day, and we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have cold water. They don't believe in ice cubes, and we really suffered. And the United States Olympic Committee shipped 700 fans so we can at least have a fan and not pass out in our sleep. So Atlanta was a great experience, especially, you know, being able to participate in the opening ceremony in front of 85,000 people, being able to just say I was a part of history being in the making. And they had a drawing for two, where they had four tickets. Sets of two, and it was for to come into the opening ceremony, because the opening ceremony ticket started at $1,000. Wow. And I won the drawing. And okay. So my younger sister and her fiance at that time, I called and said, hey, I got tickets for Atlanta to see the opening ceremony. Can you all get here? They hung up the phone. They didn't say, yes, we coming. They just they got in the car. They was only like 19 or 20, so they were real young. And they came down, and we wasn't concerned about the hotel arrangements because my little brother-in-law, he was a sharpshooter for President Clinton at the time. He was Secret Service. So he was able to stay at the same hotel President Clinton stayed in Atlanta. So he had it made. He was hanging out with the President of the United States. And then he was able to come to the opening ceremony and watch his future sister-in-law walk in with the 10,000 plus athletes that was there in representation from 197 countries in Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow, what an experience, and I'm sure a memory for a lifetime. Joining us here on the Brad Sesmet Show and Sports 360, AZ, is the talented and wonderful, and I call her like a daughter, a two-time Olympic gold and silver medalist, Rochelle Stevens. Rochelle, I want to ask you this. Regarding, you talked about coming in to a crowd of about 85,000 in Atlanta. As we know, because of the COVID protocols and still the concerns over the pandemic and what it's done in Tokyo, they have reduced the capacity to 50%, which is half at all venues. What effect will that have on the athletes, and your thoughts about that?
Me personally, I don't think it would have an effect. The simple fact, when we train, we don't train in front of 40,000, 60,000, 80,000 people. It's just the coach, yourself, and maybe somebody other on the track, a straggler or somebody, a weekend warrior. So if you're going to perform, you can perform whether it's two people there or thousands. But just know that millions around the world will be cheering for you as well through television, radio, and social media. I don't think the crowd will have a big impact on the athletes. I think the concern will be more of the people that put in the millions of dollars to be a sponsor. They're concerned about making their money back. I think those are the people that's really concerned. As for the athletes, you know, we happy you're there, but that's not our main concern as well.
Rochelle, what are you doing now? Take us. I know you're running some track clinics. You're doing some work for the USOC in terms of being an ambassador for them, and just basically promoting track and field and making it accessible to other athletes. And how can people connect with you on social media?
I'm not a big social media fan, even though I have something. If you send me a message, I might get it 6 months later, and then you're cussing me out in my private box. So the Rochelle Stevens Foundation was founded in 1990, and it was founded to assist athletes with college exposure and the opportunity to run and compete in front of college coaches and scouts so they, too, can have the opportunity to earn a scholarship to achieve their dreams. And so last year during the pandemic, like many others, my event was not allowed to happen due to the COVID restrictions and guidelines. And that would have been my 30th year. And so this year it improved, but I was not allowed to have my meet again on this year. So I always have my camp, and I was like, okay, I can have the camp and just have a smaller group versus the 1,000 plus kids that come to the track meet. So the No Pain, No Fame track and field combine, it was set up for the track clubs that normally come to my meet. And I told them that I would travel to them on this year. And for the ones that's locally, they can attend the camp here locally. So the camp was set up for Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, and then we had a coach and crew to request for me to come to Hawaii in November. Wow. and conduct the No Pain, No Fame track and field combine. The combine would consist of what are the inside secrets and the mindset of a champion? How do you properly prepare mentally for your competition. What kind of food do you eat? How much sleep do you get? You will learn about drills, technique, warming up properly. There are four or five different stride patterns. What stride pattern fits you the best? Are you a long strider, short strider, high knee strider? We help you identify what works best for you. We would teach them about race strategy, and they would do parachute start blocks. Everything that's basically involved with track and field, they would learn the basics, because a lot of the athletes, they never learn the basics, and they're just thrown in a track meet, mm-hmm. and they have to try to mm-hmm. figure it out. And then right. the coach is like, then, oh, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Well, you can't do anything that you've never been taught.
Right.
And if
right.
they can get access to come into like the No Pain, No Fame Track and Field Combine or any other athlete that's putting on summer camp, it's to the advantage of the athlete, the young athlete, to get involved. Don't be lazy. Okay, if you're lazy, trust me, you will not be making those future teams. Right. The people that normally attend camp are the ones that get up and work extra hard, put in the extra work, the ones that's doing crunches, extra crunches and sit-ups while you sitting on the couch eating Cheetos and Snicker bars. Someone else is doing a couple of thousand crunches while you sitting on the couch being lazy. Someone else is up running 4 or 5 miles. Take for an example, they said Zion Williams were at the basketball court at 5 o'clock in the morning as a kid. Well, that explains why he's in the league. So if a kid is not willing to put in the overtime, the overdrive, the extra work, trust me, you won't be making a team. The ones that's putting in the work will be the ones that make the teams, and those will be the ones that will win medals.
Well spoken from a coach who not only knows what's going on, somebody who's been there and done that, but continues to help promote the game and even give people a perspective on what it is to be a true athlete, but also a wonderful human being in every sense of the word. Is there any way that people can connect, you know, with the Combine? Or if they want information, Rochelle, how can they contact you?
You can contact me through Rochelle Stevens Foundation. Stevens is spelled with a V. It's RochelleStevensFoundation.com, or as the young people say, just Google me. I'm on Wikipedia. You'll be able to find a lot of the work that I do on Wikipedia. But if you go to RochelleStevensFoundation.com, tomorrow will be the last camp until the next one is in November in Hawaii. You can still register, pre-register, and get the information in. That camp is for ages 7 to 19 years old of age. It is tomorrow, which is Wednesday, June 23rd, in Carrierville, Tennessee, at the Johnson Park, W.C. Johnson Park in Carrierville. The camp is only from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Trust me, you'll be glad to leave at that 1:30, because I'm definitely going to show you what a little pain is all about. You're just going to get 4 hours of it versus a lifetime. But that's what the No Pain, No Fame Track and Field Combine is all about. Tomorrow, Wednesday, from 9 to 1:30 p.m., ages 7 to 19, RochelleStevensFoundation.com.
And many people do not know this, but Rochelle has a great connection. She has a friendship with a former Arizona State Sun Devil, who and many people out in Arizona are watching this program here right now. Remember Mycel Malone. And Mycel was part of that relay team that Rochelle was part of. And do you guys hook up? Do you still communicate or whatever?
I have not been able to communicate with her. Like I said, unless I go through social media, I don't know if she's on social media. But I met Mycel Malone her freshman year when she first arrived to Arizona State. We met on the track, actually. That's where you normally meet, right?
Right.
At the NCAA championship, yeah. Division One. And I won the NCAA my senior year, and she was the runner-up, I believe, in 1988. So we met on the track, and then she was fortunate to make the Olympic team in 88, where I missed that Olympic team by a blink of an eye. And so she was able to make the 88 team. But throughout the career, we battled for a very long time for national championship titles in the 400 meters. I have two outdoor titles and two indoor national titles. So I'm a four-time U.S. national champion. And we shared a couple of relays, like the Goodwill Games. We got the silver medal on the 4x400 meter relay at the Goodwill Games in 1990. And then in 96, I think that's when we was on the team again together. And there we won the gold medal. So, you know, she's a great athlete, great performer, nice individual. We got along from day one. And I think I always got along with people. I just respect you for your craft.
Absolutely. And I can tell you this unequivocally, and I know from personal knowledge and firsthand, this woman is creme de la creme. And she is a role model. She is someone who's left a wonderful legacy, not only in the state of Tennessee, but also nationally and internationally. And I'm proud to have her in my network of friends, Dr. Rochelle Stevens. Thank you. And do we bring home a lot of gold from Tokyo or what?
I believe we're going to bring home a lot of gold. The men are looking really good on this year. We're looking good considering that they really didn't get the chance to train to the best of their ability due to stadiums and things were locked down. And I think they're really performing well. But like I said, if you are really striving to be the very best in the world, you don't think about those conditions. Who cares about the weather, the wind, the rain, the pandemic? If you're the best, you're going to prove that you're the best. And you will find a way to work out and show the world that you truly are the best. That's your moment to shine. That's and the right. Olympics is a great platform to let the world know that I am shining on this particular day.
An opportunity of a lifetime. Well said, Dr. Stevens, and thank you. And with that, we say, adieu. We look forward to talking to you down the road, and we thank you for joining us here on the Brad Sesmet Show on Sports 360 AZ. Tomorrow, coming up on the program, we're going to have Steve Holman, the play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Hawks. He's going to break down game one of the Atlanta Hawks-Milwaukee Bucks Eastern Conference Series, which sets to commence tomorrow in Milwaukee. For Dr. Rochelle Stevens, for our producer Jared Nielsen, and the aforementioned play-by-play voice of your Phoenix Suns, Kevin Ray, this is Gil Tyree saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow on another edition on the Brad Sesmet Show here on Sports 360 AZ, sponsored by our good friends at Desert Financial Credit Unions.